It's midnight in Berlin.
It's midnight here. It's a lovely night.
I usually get the weather report from Anton Newcomb.
Yeah, and what does he say? It's fucking freezing.
He usually says the same thing that you do.
Because we live in the same city, for fuck's sake.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's in Pieburg.
That's not that far away. I mean, it's 20 minutes from here.
Is it only 20 minutes?
Yeah.
Not a 20-minute walk.
No, not a walk, no.
If you have to walk to Pieburg from where you are, you're talking like a good hour at least?
Yeah, probably.
At least an hour.
At least an hour. Never done it.
That's closer to where Bruce Springsteen was in 1988, where he played when he was in East Berlin. This is actually the farthest I've ever done my podcast.
Didn't think about it much, huh?
I'm going to try to go to Tokyo.
Uh-huh. Why is that?
Where's Tokyo? That's in Japan.
I said, why is that? I know exactly where Tokyo is.
Okay.
I'm quite well educated.
Yeah, I know. you know, it's tragic that you're going anonymous, because if I had and I've been trying to get you on the show forever, you know, it's like, because of your anonymity and because you don't do interviews and because, I don't know if you're, I guess on a certain level, you're kind of notorious for avoiding the media and the cameras and, you know,
it's just because I just want to have a nice, quiet life.
A nice
here,
private life. Know? No, but,
exactly.
You know, but like all of the attention my podcast would get if I could name drop. No,
but
you know what? Like, but at the on the other side of that, I'm like in my last three shows. Like this show has become this fucking albatross around my neck for the last year, you know? And it was just like my co-hosts and I, we used to joke, like, you know, we should just do like 100 episodes and then just disappear, because we found out very early that there was we didn't have a huge audience. And so it was just like this labor of love. And then, you know, one guy dropped off and another guy dropped off, and it just became,
where's your co-host right now?
Where's my co-host?
Yeah.
I currently don't have a co-host. I've been flying solo for the better part of the last 3 or 4 years. And my co-host is more of like an occasional co-host, you know?
Uh-huh. So even after I show up here on your podcast, I'm still going to have a nice quiet life because nobody's listening.
You're anonymous.
It's brilliant.
So yeah.
It's brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah. That part that we were talking about, which was the, do you remember the name of where Bruce played in 88? It was like a racetrack. It was an old,
it was
Radsportbahn.
I think it used to be a place for racing, bicycle races, I think.
Right. And now it's like this massive area where there's multiple soccer fields.
Yeah. Must be a sports ground or something there right now. I haven't been there in ages.
But that is what was once East Berlin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Do you remember when Roger Waters played in Berlin in not for the original Wall tour? I might be mistaken, but when the wall came down, he always said that he was.
It was in 89 when the wall came down.
Right. Yeah. And then Roger Waters went.
And I think he was there.
1990.
Yeah. But I haven't been there myself, but I think it was a really big thing.
Where was that concert actually?
I think it must have been close to the Brandenburger Gate.
It was at the, yeah. Okay.
Because that makes sense, you know.
But where would they hold a lot of people like that, though? Like, what is...
There's plenty of space there. Always concerts around there. I mean, they just build up a stage, and then this is a lot of empty place there, empty space, you know.
What's that other, the Tempelhof, the old airfield?
Yeah.
You could hold a really good concert there.
Yeah, but in that time, in that year, in 1980, whatever, there's been still planes starting from there. So there wasn't a concert area there.
So it was still in use then?
Yeah, exactly.
No, I'm talking about now. I'm talking about like...
Yeah, right now it's a brilliant place for concerts, for these huge festivals. I think we've been talking about that they had this festival here last summer, and it was brilliant. It was just way too warm, you know, because there's no shade there at all. It's just a plain field, and the sun has been burning the people
there. It's huge. Yeah. You could fit an entire development.
Yeah.
Multiple developments in that space.
That you use it as a big park now, you know, for kite skating. Is it with skates and a kite and with it? And
yeah,
there's plenty of things going on there. It's actually a nice area. I mean, I don't really like it that much because it's just so huge and I just get lost there. And I'm a bit, don't feel too comfortable there, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
What you want to talk about?
I don't know. What do you want to talk about? We can talk, like, I want to get back on the Roger Waters thing really quick. You know?
About what just happened here?
Yeah, about what happened there.
Yeah, I mean, and I told you I'm not really into that case. I don't really know that much about it. I just know that he's a supporter of this BDS. Is it BDS movement? Is it called BDS? It's called Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions.
And sanctions, right?
Yeah, and when you see it, what they actually have in mind, then it's a transnational political campaign. And they want to isolate Israel in a cultural and a political way. So no concerts there. And just until they actually give the rights to the Palestinian people there.
Right, right.
They just don't agree with the Israel politics. I mean, and there's something really strange.
Most of the world doesn't.
Exactly.
But
and they definitely have their point.
Yeah, I think he gets slammed by the political right over here in the States because of that, and obviously big misconceptions. You know, I mean, he's not anti-Israel. He's just anti-apartheid state, and I think he made a bad call in Berlin, man.
Yeah.
You know, I mean this show what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, what he did there is part of his. Obviously part of his show, you know, the thing with the machine gun and that uniform, which is apparently
using these uniforms. I mean, we're quite sensitive with that here.
In Berlin, they're very sensitive for obvious reasons, right?
Yeah.
So you have to be careful when you go to a place like Berlin or anywhere, I guess, anywhere in Germany for that matter, where, I mean, the uniform that Roger is wearing on this tour is the same exact uniform that Bob Geldof wore in the Wall movie 40 years ago.
Yeah.
If anybody claims to love Pink Floyd, The Wall, they obviously haven't been paying attention. It's kind of satirical in the sense that, you know, he's always had some sort of anti-fascism thread running through his concerts for the past 40 years. He's always had some big deranged fascist character throughout his concerts. And the fictional portrayal of, you know, this Nazi like figure, which is obviously based loosely
on. And I think he was a bit, and I think it was his posing in this kind of uniform that people didn't like here that much. And
I'm not gonna lie, I saw the footage, and this was actually before this whole outcry. I was saying, I wonder if he's going to tone it down when he goes to Germany.
But he didn't.
You know, and,
he just didn't.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, he's getting slammed. And, I mean, you know, you take such a position, man, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know? But I mean, I wouldn't want to be, you know,
he's in that certain age. And I think maybe it's a bit of he likes to provoke that. And I don't know. I mean, it gives a lot of attention to his show as well. And I don't know.
Anyway, yeah, because you're not the biggest Pink Floyd fan.
I'm not really a big. No, but I'm not. This is just not my kind of music, you know.
Yeah, you're more like Billy Bragg. And yeah. You went to the Paul Weller show a few weeks back.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah.
Tell me about that.
It was brilliant. I mean,
Now, you don't have to wear a disguise, right? You don't have to go out in disguise like you're not like so like or do people bother you? Or you just kind of like wear like big sunglasses and a hat?
On a concert like that, you know, you see a lot of people sneaking in and out, and you meet a lot of people there. You meet a lot of musicians there. And This is always the kind of like a place to meet people, you know, and so nobody actually looks at you. And because this guy is even bigger than me, so.
a little bit, right?
just a wee bit, you know, just a wee bit. No, but it was great. I mean, I've seen him so often and it's totally different. I've seen, for example, Billy Bragg last year, and Billy Bragg is in this same age as Paul Weller, but Billy Bragg comes across like an old man now, you know, he wears these cardigans and he gives his funny dances and he wears glasses on stage because obviously he can't really see that well anymore, you know, and Paul Weller is totally different. He's still that slim, nice guy, you know, and you could really think that he could pick up anybody in there, you know. Mm-hmm. He's a charmer. He's still that kind of really cool guy. Totally different. But I loved it.
It's a shame that he never really like he never broke really like nearly as big as he should have in the States.
Yeah, I know.
Jam,
I know.
You know.
But I think it's more a British thing.
Yeah.
And I mean, all his fans there, they're so devoted to him. You know, he's the Mod Father. He's just on top of, you know, he's a king. So what's next, huh?
What's next? Since you're anonymous, I can't really interview you. You know what I mean?
We didn't think about that, huh?
I thought about that. I was like, well, I mean, anonymous is always fun. I've had anonymous guests on this podcast.
Yeah.
You know, and to this day, I've never revealed who did.
To me, it is just a bit of fun, you know. I don't give many interviews anyway.
It's fun to do anonymous shows.
Yeah, yeah.
It's always fun because they could be whatever you want them to be. Like once you lose the identity of the real person, then it just you know, you just kind of wing it.
Yeah.
And you know, they're either a disaster or they're really fun, you know.
what where are we going to disaster?
I don't know, but what else is going on in Berlin? Like right there's a Nan Golden exhibition going on.
It's not an exhibition. The exhibition is over already.
That ended.
Yeah, I think so. That documentary, and I think it won a lot of prizes in Cannes at the film festival.
Did you get to it? Did you get to see it?
No, not yet. But they're gonna show it here soon, and I'm definitely gonna go and see it, definitely, because I'm really into that. Because she's a lovely artist, and I just like the way she sees things, you know, and like it provokes in that time, and I like the attention she gets and the attention she puts on issues, and I like that.
I told you it was another girl from Berlin who turned me on to Nan Golden back in the late 90s. I had no idea who she was, but yeah, I was going through this photography period. And I was into Cindy Sherman at the time. I was actually just discovering Cindy Sherman for myself.
Yeah.
and she was a waitress at the cafe. Well, I'm going to name drop because it's gone, but the Cafe Borgia, the late great Cafe Borgia, which I mourned the loss over.
Yeah.
It was one of the four corners, the four corners of Bleecker McDougal, which were all at one time a cafe. And it was on the northeast corner of Bleecker McDougal.
Yeah.
And so I used to talk to the people that ran that place all the time. And so she's also a Berlin girl.
Mm-hmm. I think you've been mentioning her. Yeah.
Yeah. So I always kind of,
because you probably thought I would know her because Berlin is so small, but
but it's really not though. Berlin is huge. No.
Not compared to New York, for example. No. It's more a familiar atmosphere here.
Berlin is more spread out, like Brooklyn, whereas probably, Manhattan yeah. is like long and thin. Like if you're looking yeah. If you're looking at the map, I would say like Berlin is more just spread out, more vast, and yeah. And Manhattan is just this narrow island.
So let's talk about something really cool here. Come
okay,
on.
Okay, what? You pick the conversation. You pick the subject.
Since I said I'm gonna stay.
You had a rough night out. Were you drinking mojitos?
Yeah, sure. It's the best drink to have in a summer night.
I still haven't had one.
I know. I always try to convince you.
I know.
To
I
drink
know.
One.
I know.
But you just stay with your Coke all the time.
With my Coke.
Coke or a beer. That's all I've seen you drinking.
Coke is like my post-sushi meal. My post-sushi
Coke
drink.
Coke goes well with sushi. Oh, God.
Does it?
Yeah. Oh, God. Well, yeah. I think you've been the only person I ever met who drinks Coke with sushi.
I drink it after sushi. I have this continuous need to burp my food up. Nothing does that like Coke. Shit.
No, actually, you should try that mojito stuff because it gives you the idea of drinking something really healthy, you know, because there's fresh lemon in it or lime. And there's mint.
It looks healthy. Leaves it looks of like it's mint. Like this, like sparkling water.
It's like sparkling medicine, I tell you.
Sparkling medicine.
Yeah. Yeah, it's brilliant.
I'll have some sparkling medicine with my lime.
Yeah, you should try that. Yeah, anyway, it was a good night and I've seen some friends and
you saw I can't say her name. I'm gonna give her away.
sure.
I couldn't say her name. I won't say her name.
No, don't say her
but
name.
But I know where you were. So the usual spot is reopened now that it's spring and it's beautiful weather out and Kreuzberg's alive and kicking with the sounds of summertime approaching.
Summertime. It's quite nice here because it's a quite international feeling here. You know, you've got
the park right there.
With the park here and it's filled with people from all over the world right now because everybody seems to have holidays and come over and
is it really uncomfortable in a sense that, man, you just wish the tourists would go the fuck home? Is Berlin like really, really like overcrowded?
In some parts,
or is it still comfortable to like go out?
It's still okay. I mean, if you live here, you know your quiet spots, you know. But yeah. But we got streets that are just only for tourists, you know, and of course everybody wants to go to the Sperrkheim and everybody wants to go to the Montbijou Park.
Yeah,
for karaoke and
like the wide street. So, on your street, if you go down your street, right, and there's that wide, what's the one? I compared it to Houston, but you said no. It was like where Houston is like, well, it used to be three. I don't know how many lanes Houston is now with all of
yeah.
the restaurant modifications cutting into the curb. But yeah. Meringdam,
yeah,
is a wide. It's like an avenue. It's like the equivalent of like New York City's avenues. and the street that no, I'm serious. And
it's way and this, smaller. It's just a bigger street, you know. Yeah. But it doesn't have more than four lanes.
Okay. All right. So it intersects with where Bergman.
Yeah.
Bergman's begins. Classic.
Yeah.
And
this is where the restaurants are. I would just picture
that place, that area being loaded with tourists. Is it not, or do we need to like?
It is loaded with tourists, but since we don't have that many hotels here, we more have small hostels here, so you don't get these huge groups of tourists, you know, and you don't get the elderly people here, you know. Here it's really hip. This.
Okay, so if you move up to like Potsdam or Platz,
yeah, but no.
Is that more of a touristy area?
Yeah, because nobody else wants to go there. It's horrible.
So it's kind of like it's like the equivalent of like what Times Square is to New York City.
Yeah, but like maybe there's tourists. Something going on Times Square. On Potsdamer Platz, there's nothing going on.
Potsdamer Platz is like it's like one big shopping mall.
Yeah, exactly. Like
one gigantic glass shopping mall.
That is, there's no real life on Potsdamer Platz. You know, it's
It
used to be an empty spot where the wall was, and it used to be kind of like the border between the east and west part of Berlin.
Right.
And so they actually had an empty space to create something new and to build something new and to build something like a new signature place for Berlin. But I fucked it up completely.
So, yeah, but a lot of those buildings like are still going up. Right.
I mean, Berlin is always like a lot of construction work,
forever under construction.
It's always under construction.
I love the story that you told me about. You used to hang out in these buildings, like the skeletons of these buildings as they were going.
Yeah. Well, they've been under construction. Yeah. Yeah. We used to climb around there.
So what would you do? Would you just like sneak into construction sites or something? Or were the buildings?
Yeah, we just sneaked in and we've been just walking through the empty buildings, you know, and it was all undone so far, so you could really see how taggy it was, you know, how much taggy stuff they've been using to build that. And we've been just climbing from one store to the other using ladders that we found and stealing things. I mean, I'm anonymous here, I can say that. Nobody's gonna get me for that.
No, I was gonna call into question your history with architecture too.
Exactly.
And I was gonna say, like, okay, do I go there? But you know, you have let's just say you have an architectural background.
Yeah.
So you kind of knew long what time you were ago. You knew what you were looking at.
Yeah, exactly. But that was long time before.
Like, look at these fucked up buildings that they're putting up.
Yeah.
And look what's becoming of my city.
My professor would have kicked my ass if I would show up with something like that. If I would have designed something like that, I would have get my ass kicked. Yeah, I mean,
wasn't this like cutting edge technology at the time?
You would think that.
We're building the Berlin of the future. You know,
exactly. Like that's what we've been all expecting. You know, we thought they would build something really great and something outstanding, but nothing like that happened. You know, it's boring, and they've been asking a lot of really big names like Sir Norman Foster, like what's his name, Aldo Rossi or whatever, lots of big names here, you know,
right.
And they all build something there, but it's all boring shit. Oh my God. You know, you fall asleep before you actually, when you look at it, you just fall asleep. It's just boring.
There's entire stretches of town where everything is white and like white and cream colored.
It's all metallic and it's all shiny, but it's nothing with a nice personality. Nothing that says that this place is special. You know, it looks like Frankfurt. It looks
but
like.
But you can't say that about your part of town. Can you?
What do you mean?
Your part of town, I can't say looks boring.
No, no. I mean, my part of town is just is mixed funny houses here, old houses, very old houses. Me, myself, I live in one of these architectural dreams built in the 90s with no money or whatever, no money and a lot of ambitions, I would say. And it was supposed to be really up to date, but after 30 years, it's just a bit worn out here, you know.
And you're in your swinger neighbors, man, you know, I swear, is the owner of the Cafe Borgia from, I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't say that. not that anybody in my audience is going to remember the owner of Cafe Borgia, but.
What's wrong with them?
Nothing. I don't know. He could be dead for all I know. I mean, I haven't seen the guy since like the, I mean, the place closed. That place closed in early 2001.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how long ago we're talking. It's 20, yeah. Over 22 years now. You have like, you're probably in the best kept secret of Berlin. Like your area, you know?
Probably, yeah.
Although in New York City, like, okay, in the case of New York City, they used to say that Brooklyn was the best kept secret in New York City.
Yeah.
Before Brooklyn became a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Brooklyn wasn't really a thing until like maybe 10 years into the, maybe 10, 15 yeah. years ago, 15
the
years ago.
Part of Berlin where I live used to be a really rough area a couple of 30 years ago. You know, there was working class area, really a rough neighborhood here. But uh-huh. it's just, and because the rent's been so cheap, so all lots of artists moved here, lots of musicians, a lot of funky people, you know, fun people moved here. And that's why that area became so popular.
And that's the number one thing you hear about Berlin is that housing is a nightmare. That if you're planning on moving to Berlin, like good
no
fucking
way.
Luck, man. Like, you know, you're going
to forget about it. Forget about it. Just stay where you are. Exactly. Yeah. Be happy that you have a place to stay and just hope that you can still pay for it.
And so, I mean, what in terms of like Kreuzberg, is it sections of that part of town that I don't want to say rent control, but is that safe to say rent control?
It used to be like that, but of course they stopped all that.
Okay.
You know, there's no such thing like rent control here anymore.
So it's inevitable
but
that
Berlin,
you know,
Berlin, because of the history of Berlin, I think we've been talking about that and I know you know about it. That's, told you that Berlin used to be the west part of Berlin used to be in the middle of Eastern Germany, and that's why everybody who lived here in the west part got supported from the German government to live here, you know. So they got extra money, and the rent's been really low, and they had certain rules here. Every young man who lived in Berlin doesn't have to join he didn't have to join the army, for example. So everybody from Western Germany who doesn't want to go to the army just moved to Berlin, and that's why Berlin became such a crazy place. A lot of subculture and a lot of political things going on here. It was totally different from the rest of Western Germany. It was totally isolated here. And it was totally different. I mean, the same currency, same government, but totally distant and different from the rest of Germany. And it still is. It still has that kind of island philosophy here. You know, we're still different from the rest. We're a bit more dirty, a bit more aggressive, maybe, a bit definitely more creative here. it's been a kind of like a melting pot, like an asylum for people who wanted to be different, you know. And they all moved to Berlin, and that's why it was so cool here. You still
Everybody
there?
Everybody cool wants to go to Berlin.
It used to be like that. I mean, after a while, they'd all get fed up with it because they just can't stand the mentality of Berlin people or of the city here, because it's not really easy to live here.
In terms of what, being new to the city and experiencing.
I mean, it's dirty.
I don't want to say culture
rough.
Shock, but
it's a culture shock here.
You think is it that big of a difference between? I mean, aside from somebody that might go there and not know the language, are they going to find things much different than, say, New York City?
That's probably close to the mentality of New York City. It's pretty open-minded. It's okay. It's different from other places in Germany. You know, it's not as clean here. It's not as shiny here.
Right.
It's not as perfect. We don't make much money here anymore, because Berlin just is different. It is different.
Yeah.
It's hard to explain. It's different in all kinds of ways, you know.
Because you could have somebody that's like just as, and I'm not doubting the, you know, the culture shock, but you would find somebody that would grow up in Kansas and find themselves just as displaced in the middle of Manhattan, I think.
Yeah. Mostly when you come from the countryside to Berlin, you just get lost here, or it's easy to get lost here.
Yeah.
Because everything's possible. We don't have these closing hours and the bars. You know, everything is open, everything is available. And we don't go for money that much here. You know, money doesn't matter here. It doesn't matter that much here. We drive the ugly cars. We wear the ugly clothes.
What's the name of the car that had on New Year's Eve? They had a bunch of. I think I was talking to you. I was talking to you on New Year's Eve during the day, where they were prepping some big celebration on what was East Berlin, but it was the big car of East Berlin. There were those little.
This little Trabant car.
Yes.
The plastic one.
What is it called?
Yeah. Trabant.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I showed you a picture of it. I sent you
picture.
Oh,
yeah.
No,
I've seen them. I've seen those.
Yeah. Yeah. They actually, it's actually a copy. All East German cars have been copies of other cars, of Western cars. I think it was a copy of an old Renault or something like that. Something from the 50s, an old Renault or... I can't remember the model. And
So somebody going to Germany that it gets to the point where, like, all right, you know, you're going to be really, really disappointed in trying, even attempting to find a place in Berlin on your own, right? More likely than not. So somebody that's got to say, okay, what would be the next best thing to Berlin? If your heart is set on Berlin and you've got that cosmopolitan centric feel to your personality, that you need something that's going, what would be the next best thing to Berlin? Or does such a place exist in Germany? Would it be Hamburg?
Of course. Yeah, probably Hamburg.
That would have been, that's obviously my guess.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot going on in Hamburg, and Hamburg is a bit more posh than Berlin. You know, it's even more expensive there. But it's still quite relaxed. It's close to the Baltic Sea, and it's they have a nice temper, the people there. You know,
what do you figure? It's like maybe an hour, 2 hour train ride.
No. It's a bit further away.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Let's say 3 hours or four.
For real?
Yeah.
Hmm. See, I'm looking at it now.
Mm-hmm.
No, man, are you sure about? I mean, yeah. Well, obviously, I'm not going to question you, but you know, I'm not saying you're wrong. See, I mean, it looks like you went out to Rostock.
Yeah.
In about,
that's the closest.
2 hours.
When I want to go to the Baltic Sea, that's the closest.
You go to Rostock.
Yeah.
Just above Rostock.
Yeah.
Okay, so the amount of space I'm looking at, of course, I'm looking at a Google map.
Yeah.
The amount of space between Rostock and Berlin, your part of Berlin, is about the same amount of space on the map between Berlin and Hamburg.
So you think I could be there even faster?
I think you can be from Berlin to Hamburg in 2 hours by train.
Probably when I take the fast train. Yeah.
Yeah, the fast train. See, we don't. I live in the States. Obviously, we don't have the fast train.
We have different trains. We have regional trains. They are a bit slower.
Yeah.
And we have the fast trains, these ICE trains.
Yeah.
And they just fast as fuck. And then it will take you 2 hours to go to Hamburg.
Yeah, no, we do have an American equivalent of a fast train. But, you know, I mean, it's really pathetic here compared to other places.
Yeah.
I mean, you've seen it. I mean, you lived out on the West Coast.
I was on the West Coast, yeah.
Yeah.
And I didn't use a train, not even once, I think. I didn't even know that they had
trains. Do they even have trains out there?
I never saw a train. I've never seen one. To be honest, I've never seen one. We always went everywhere. Even when we wanted to go to the post office, we took the car, you know?
Yeah. So you could walk to the curb from there.
Yeah. That was a kind of like a culture shock for me, because I don't even have a car here in Berlin, because it's a big city. You just don't use it, you know? And of course there, when I was walking down the street, they started to stop at me and ask me if everything was okay with me. You know, and when I talked to people and I said I don't have a car, they treated me like I would have cancer or something. And you know, kind of like,
was that
really
where,
sorry
where was that,
for
in
me.
LA?
Yeah, they've been really going like, oh, sorry.
you don't have a car.
You don't have a car. Oh, sorry. Should I give you one?
Excuse me. This is the girl that has no car.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, and she's a funny girl. She's the one with no car. Don't mention cars. She might cry. I don't know. Yeah, and I actually took the bus sometimes. And taking the bus in Los Angeles is really horrible. I mean, this is fucking.
Well, that's the best thing about New York City. Is living in New York City is you don't have to have a car.
Yeah. Yeah.
Obviously, I drive everywhere myself. You know,
yeah,
drive mm-hmm. everywhere, and I would love to not have to drive everywhere.
Yeah,
look, in the suburbs, it's just like, you know, I remember people that are like, "Fuck you! I would love to have a car. I would hate to, you know, you have no idea. I take two buses and a train to work." Like, I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about the fucking suburbs. I'm talking about living in a grid system, the grid system of a city. Where you can walk basically everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
And everything's walking distance. And if you got to get in a cab or if you have to get on a subway, so be it.
Yeah. But, here it would take me ages to find a place to park my car. You know, and I'm not into that. No. There's no point of getting a car here. Okay, sometimes I miss it, you know, when I try to transport thing when I buy a sofa or buy a chair or something and I need it delivered, and with a car I could just pick it up myself,
yeah,
and things like that. This is the only time when I feel sorry for not having a car.
I mean, people that like live in the city that like have cars, unless you're absolutely fucking rich where you can put your car and have somebody valet park your car underground in the garage of the big building, you know, that you live in 79th Street or something like that. Yeah, fine. But I mean, if you live downtown and like you got to deal with parking this fucking car, every day. And since like, God forbid you live on like West 11th Street or something like that. And you have to,
yeah,
you have to find parking every day of your life. And it's just like, oh, I got this fucking car. Like, where do I put this thing?
And
like,
people don't go anywhere anymore because they might lose their parking spot, you know? Oh no, we don't come in. We can't come tonight because we just have the perfect parking spot for our car. You know, we can't move the car.
Can't move the car.
Yeah.
Oh man.
This is something I thought, this is so ridiculous.
One of the first times I drove in the city, this was like in the late, I guess this was like 89, 99. I was about 20 and I couldn't find a parking spot. So I turned around and went home. I went all the way to the city, couldn't park, drove around for an hour and just gave up and went home.
I didn't expect anything else from you, to be honest.
I mean, now I would just fucking abandon the car. Now I would just like pull up, park somewhere illegally, you know, and just leave it. You know, I would probably park in front of a hydrant or park half on the curb or something, you know. Now in New York, I don't know if you've heard me like gripe about it, but now it's just so, it's awful in New York if you're a driver, because the way the bike lanes, they actually, where the bike lanes used to be between the parked cars and the cars driving on the street, now they moved the bike lanes to the curb. So it's sidewalk, curb, you know, step off the curb into the bike lane. And now the parked cars are now literally in the middle of the street. So what used to be the left lane of any given block is now a parking lane.
Yeah.
You know, we used to be like a few lanes, and now like you'll be driving and you'll have to slam on your brakes because there's a line of parked cars in the middle of the street.
But as I always say, I think cars are a thing of the past. You know, we should just get rid of them and should just support public transport. And I mean, do you know what I'm like? You know?
Yeah, they're a necessary evil. They're a necessary evil to a lot of people.
Yeah, okay. You know?
I wish we all lived in the grid system.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I think that's what the future should be.
I mean, the suburbs are laid out, it's not practical, you know.
Here we have this big thing right now with these last generation, these climate activists. Mm. Right now here in Berlin, they just glue themselves to the on the highways in the middle of the road and blocking the traffic, and everybody hates them here now.
Mm.
But I think they're right. I think they just, and protest has to be uncomfortable for everybody, you know. Otherwise, if they would just have a sign in their hands on the side of the road, nobody would care.
Yeah. So,
but now they just glue on themselves with their hands on the streets, and they just blocking the traffic. So and bringing a bit of attention to that. I kind of like that. I mean, I wouldn't do it, but
no. Maybe my 20 year old self would do it.
Yeah, probably. With your bear,
you're doing yourself with your crazy kid sneaking into buildings and stuff.
Yeah.
So like you have like a Bowie story, don't you?
Oh God, yeah, I told you. And I think I told you the first time we met that this is not the most brilliant thing that ever happened to me.
You were a kid, right? I mean, you were a kid?
No? Yeah. I mean, I was a young kid here, living here in Schöneberg. And you know that Bowie used to live here. That's a big thing. But everybody in Berlin is so proud of this. I don't know how many months he lived here. He lived around the corner, you know, and used to hang out in that bar where my dad used to work, you know. And I can remember when I was a child that I came to see my dad. And then there was this skinny, strange man, and he was touching my had, and I thought, what the fuck? I can't even remember the smell of his perfume or whatever it was, you know. And that's the way I actually met David Bowie, and I didn't know that, you know. And I've only seen it on pictures when my dad brought up these pictures when I was older, and he was like, yeah, can you remember? And I was like, yeah, I can remember that.
But you didn't
guy.
Know you didn't know it was him at the time, though, right?
I was a kid, you know.
Yeah, because you, I mean, we're the same age.
So, exactly.
I
was
talking
a kid.
About his Berlin period. If you're talking about, yeah. You were a little kid, right? I mean, it wasn't later, was it? No.
I wish I would have known his music, or I wish I would have known that it was David Bowie, and I wish I would have known that he is such a great musician and such a great artist, but I didn't know that. For me, it was just a creepy, skinny guy who touched my hat, you know. Yeah, that's my Bowie story.
All right.
Next time I come up with another nice story, because stupid things like that just kept happening in my life, you know. I don't know why. It's probably because I just stepped into it accidentally.
You're like Forrest
Gump. I'm like Forrest Gump, exactly.
Exhaling.
Yeah. Yeah. What I tell you the next time I tell you about that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It'll have to be on a different podcast, or else, well, it doesn't have to be on a podcast. You can just tell
You're going to come on my podcast.
Yes, I'll go on your podcast when you have one.
I already have one.
Breakfast with Wise Ass.
That's what how
was
you
it?
Call
like, good
it.
Night, good night. And what was the motto? It was like good night and good morning, or good morning and good night. Breakfast with Wise Ass.
Yeah.
Was it you who told me that, you know, about like on the like the lawn outside the Reichstag at night?
Where, oh my people, God, don't bring that.
No, we're not going to talk about that. The shadows on the Reichstag building.
I told you way too many strange stories, I think.
I was going to tell that story on Twitter and just keep it anonymous.
You can do that, but if you keep it anonymous, it's okay.
All right, so I'm cutting the funny story.
I'm
cutting the Reichstag story out. You know why? Yeah. The reason I'm cutting it out, I'm going to leave this part in, but the reason that, like, I assumed that was something that everybody did. Look, at some point people did that, what we're talking about. And at some point they looked up on that building at night.
They saw the shadow. They saw their own shadow on the facade.
Anyway,
of the
so
Reichstag.
No. Okay. Yeah. So I just assumed it was a thing. Okay. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
Because we're really straying from our musical, this big musical discussion that we've been having for the past hour. But my favorite episodes of this podcast are always the ones that really get away from music. Which was like, okay, you should have never stuck. I kind of boxed myself in by doing a music podcast. The possibilities are endless with a music podcast. But the thing is that there's so many of them. And at some point you just get tired of talking about music. I don't like talking about music in real life, which, you know,
we've been trying our best here.
Yeah, but
yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'm just too drunk tonight too.
I got to cut my conversation off here because then I start revealing names and I don't want to say names.
No names.
Yeah, I can't
here.
Get into it. Yeah. So I want to thank you for not letting me reveal your name. I have to out you. You told me to call you Anna.
Yeah, Anna's my name for this season. Anna is the name for the project I'm working on right now.
That's kind of like, that's the kind of like in progress, confidential name. It's what we call it, Anna.
Because every time when I start something new, I start with a new name, you know, because I always think the old person has nothing to do with that. No, I just leave the old person behind and just come up with another name.
Yeah, I do that too. Like in a file.
When
like
we first met, I can't even remember what my name was when we first met. When was that?
Oh,
quite a long time ago.
Like, who was the president?
Pardon?
Who was the president?
I can't remember.
And you've lived in a lot of places too.
Oh, yeah. Always under a different name.
Always under a different name. That's true.
Yeah.
So you can have been anonymous at any time. You could have used any one of your names.
And there's so many names left over and so many things to, so many new projects to start, you know.
Yes. Maybe I'm going to
be
gonna
bored of being Fred. Anna next week. Pardon?
I'm just going to call my next project Fred.
Yeah.
I'm going to name this episode. The name of this episode is just going to be called Fred.
Yeah. Hey, Fred. It's nice to meet you. I'm Anna for now.
Jesus Christ.
And we're going to do something together sometimes. I'm going to involve you in one of my projects.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I don't know. You're not a really good dancer, huh?
I can't.
Exotic dancer.
I don't even remember what I was going to say here.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, thank you for being anonymous on my show.
It was a pleasure.
It's late in Berlin. It's like 1:05 in Berlin, right?
Oh, God, yeah.
Giving up, man. Go to bed.
Yeah. My day's not even over. Got to start something else now.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
What the fuck is wrong with you?
We should just end it with fuck you. Fuck you, too.
Oh, fuck you.
You're going to be very impressed with the way I stitched this together.